This morning's public reading during our Sunday school hour came from Psalm number 69, and last week we read simply the first 15 verses. And I mentioned last week, if you look at verse 4, look at verse 4 of Psalm 69. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, bring thine enemies wrongfully, are mighty than I. Then I resorted that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. But verse 4, beloved, is a messianic passage. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, on numerous occasions, as we're seeing in our reading in John chapter 8, every time Jesus confronted his audience, or the masses, or the multitudes, there was always the religious leaders within that crowd, listening and watching, sometimes asking him a question in order to trap Jesus, in order to take whatever he said back to the Sanhedrin, who would continually plot and plan to kill him on numerous occasions. They hated Jesus without a cause. King Saul hated the lesser David, who wrote this, King David himself to be. Saul simply hated David out of envy and jealousy because the people sang praises to David with high accolation, while King Saul just got a few drops of those songs. He was envious and jealous. David did nothing wrong to King Saul at all to have King Saul send armies after David all over the country, in caves and dens and in the forest. David was a man on the run. He was a hunted man. Well, likewise, Jesus was also a hunted man in his ministry. But now, when we come to our own reading, verse 21, Christians need to read the Bible carefully. And I believe it's my responsibility to mention that to you and also to give you examples. For instance, they gave me also gall for my meat. Verse 21. Beloved, you don't find that ever occurring in David's life. When you read 1 and 2 Samuel, which is the bulk of King David's life as a young man and then becoming a king, you don't find any of that mentioned. So who is he referring to? Well, you got that lesser David. But in the Psalms, David projects down the time tunnel from his time to the greater David who would come. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. When you read the crucifixion scene, this event occurred in the life of Jesus, the greater David. He not only was he a descendant of David, he is the greater David. What you see David going through, Jesus Christ went through, only amplified to a much greater degree. Notice what he says here in verses 17. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. How often do you find Jesus in the gospel narratives? What is Jesus found doing when his disciples are waking up to a new day? He had already gone up into the hills before the crack of dawn, before the rooster would crow, and seek his Father in prayer. While they're sleeping, he's praying, seeking God's face. On numerous occasions, when he went to Nazareth to preach and to teach in the synagogue, they got so mad, they literally took him out of the synagogue and was about to throw him over a cliff. And the Bible says, in essence, he just meandered his way out of the crowd, untouched and unscathed, because it was not his hour. On another occasion, they went for the rocks to stone him to death. And again, he simply meandered off unscathed and untouched. It was not his hour to die yet. What do we find in verse 18? Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies, plural. I tell people that if you're having a bad day and you're going through a trial or a tribulation, you got the loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, maybe the wrong diagnosis that the doctor drops in your lap when you go into his office after your tests. How does the Christian respond? How does the Christian react? Does he throw his hands up in the air and say, God, you're just simply a meanie genie. You simply throw curveballs when I wanted a fastball? Notice, in the book of Psalms, you have Christianity in the raw. You have Christianity as it relates to the real world. Beloved, life is not a breeze. Life is not a cakewalk in the park. When you walk in this life, angels do not cast rose petals on the ground in front of your feet. Life is tough. Life can be mean. Life can be cruel. And let's face it, Christians, life is not fair. If you say otherwise, then you live on a different planet than where I live. This is Christianity in the raw. This is open Christianity. David is screaming up to his God, my enemies are more than the numbers of my head. The greater David, what did he go through? They hated Jesus for no rhyme or reason. And then finally, verse 22 and following. Now this might disturb you. Maybe you never heard this before. But we know that Jesus is being reference to based on verse 4 and based on verse 21, this idea of David drinking gall or bitter vinegar. That was done to Jesus on the cross. So David was not only writing about his own situation, David with the eye of prophecy was looking at his greater descendant who would go through much more than David could ever conceive. Let their table become a snare before them. Since I understand this to be messianic, and this is the words of the greater David, to whom is the greater David praying to? He's not praying to you nor to me. He's praying to his father in regards to his enemies who hate him and will murder him without a just cause. He asks his father, let their own table become a trap or a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Jesus is praying for his father to bring vengeance on his own adversaries. Let their eyes be darkened. I just got done teaching you on that judicial blindness. When a certain people or a certain culture or even a certain individual crosses that line that God has drawn in the sand, and you cross over that line, you will be judged while you're still breathing air. There is no hope of eternal life. The Holy Spirit will just simply leave that individual alone. There is no conviction of sin. That person is numb and callous towards anything related to God, the bliss of heaven and the horrors of a devil's hell. It makes no impression on those people. And beloved, there are tens of thousands of those souls walking right now in our city and across this globe who have already crossed that line. Pour out thy indignation upon them. Let thy wrathful anger take hold upon them. Now, verse 25 is very key. For when you read Matthew chapter 21 and you read Matthew 23 at your leisure, I'm telling you where to go to find the evidence. In Matthew 21 and Matthew 23, when Jesus gives his final warning to the religious leaders on both occasions, he walks out of the temple and says, your house is left to you desolate. What do we read? Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. for they persecuted him whom thou hast smitten. Read Isaiah chapter 53, where Isaiah paints the canvas picture of the bleeding, suffering, dying servant of Jehovah, his own son. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that God the Father bruised God the Son. God the Father smit his own son on our behalf. And what do you find? The same language, the same picture, the same image. Scripture defining scripture. One scripture pointing to the other scripture to show the validity and the integrity of your book. And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity. Notice the prayer. Add more iniquity upon their own iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. So, beloved, when anyone or any people, any culture, any society, any nation, any political leader, any church leader who crosses over a line and believes they can poke God in the eye over and over, and there will be no response from heaven, they are a fool. And unfortunately today in America, we have nearly 500 of them in the halls of Congress who all they do is poke God in the eye. And beloved, you do come to the end of the last poke before God responds. Well, may God have mercy on our nation and on our leaders. Amen.